Check. There we go. All right. You guys can give him a round of applause. You guys are really quiet. You guys act like he didn't do a good job or something. You're just like a bunch of like birds on a log there. Choo, choo, choo. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I was joking with Xavier this morning that he took most of my time, so I got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to just rock it. No, I'm just kidding. Xavier did good this morning. But today, I just want to talk about something really simple that God laid on my heart a while ago. I already had this message written, and I just kept going back and forth, but sitting here just thinking about it, just teens, being a youth pastor, watching the teens grow, one story that I just want to give the children's pastor and Xavier just kind of put them up. It's just awesome having a four-year-old with Braxton being in their classes. And at lunchtime, we ask Braxton every week, Braxton, what did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn in junior church? What did you learn on Wednesday nights? And the number one thing is a question every week, Jesus. And so it's just awesome just to, you know, just to watch my son grow. It's just exciting, and I know that Braxton isn't the only one. There's many other little kids in there, but it just makes a dad's heart happy. But, so tonight, Matthew chapter 14, if you could stand in honor of God's word, we're going to read verses 21 through 33. Very familiar story here. It's a famous story. Before we'll just start reading so I don't get ahead of myself. All right, starting 21. It says, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray." It's very important, right? If we know that Jesus went and prayed, shouldn't we pray? And so let's keep going here. "So he went and prayed, and so when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Man, when I sit here and read this, I just get pumped. Because knowing that if I could physically just see Jesus walking on water, it's just... Sometimes I sit there and I want to be like, "Jesus, I want to try." We just recently got a Y membership, and I just sit there and I just try to step, and I'm like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "I can't." Good thing, no, I'm just a sinner, but you know, Jesus is just a perfect man. But anyway, let's keep going. So he was walking on water. I lost my spot. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship and the wind ceased, and this is important, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a true, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this wonderful evening. We thank you for everybody that's here. And just, Lord, we thank you just for Brother Tim and just his ministry. And, Lord, you continue to use him mightily. And, Lord, as you keep him safe as he travels. And, Lord, that we can get behind him. And, Lord, just be able to see more tracks get pushed out, more people saved. And, God, we're just, again, thankful for all you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Maybe see it. So one thing I want to look here is how many of you guys like, you know, to be where the credit's due? You're like, "Man, I did that." You want to get the credit for it, right? Well, here, you know, there are several things about the story that I want to look at. Peter did a lot of things right in the story. We always, you know, bash Peter. I'm really good at it because it's like, "Peter, why do you do what you do?" But let's give credit where it's due. Number one is Peter sought the Lord's approval. If you look there in verse 28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He's asking for approval. And you sit there and think, a lot of us, especially me, I just kind of, you know, shoot the shot and ask forgiveness later. I don't ask for approval. A lot of times, especially with my wife, she's like, well, did we talk about it? Sorry, honey, I just figured I could just do it. But, you know, that's this again, that's just us. But, two, Peter was close enough to the Lord to hear his voice. How cool is that? You know, sometimes I think we just look past it, but Peter, again, he asked for his approval. Now he heard his voice. In verse 29, you see there, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He listened. How many of you guys are good listeners? I know you ain't. Stop. But number three, Peter did not delay or doubt or change his mind or second guess the Lord. How many of you guys like to second guess? Being in the Bible Institute right now, I second guess myself nonstop when it comes to these quizzes and tests, and preacher laughs about it because I'm sitting there stressing. I'm like, man, it's going to be bad, you know, if I fail this. Being, you know, the associate pastor here, and then the preacher gets up here and says, yep, associate pastor, failed out of the Bible Institute. That's going to look bad on me. But, man, I sit there and I stress on it, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I'm like, okay, it's this. And I go, oh, no, it's this. But the good thing is you see there that he didn't – he didn't second guess himself, excuse me. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, Peter just went. But then Peter did not, or did what nobody else has ever done before or since. He walked on water. Yeah. You know, how awesome is that? Yeah. And then number five, Peter set his course to go to Jesus. You see, they're all in verse 29. And he went and he ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you sit there and you think of how important that is because he did everything right to this point. He listened. He asked for approval. He sat there and he saw Jesus. And Jesus said, come. And he came. And half the time, you know, when Jesus tells us to do something, we just look at him. But Peter says, all right, I'm coming. But now let's get to the important part. What happened? Peter started sinking. So now let's look at, you know, sometimes in our own personal lives, we're sinking. We're going through a valley where it's trouble. We're going through life and it's trouble. Because I tell you what, when I was a kid, Aiden, I tell you what, enjoy the life right now as you're young. Because once you get older, my friend, it just gets a whole lot harder. And so being young, man, Christmas, it felt like it was a lifetime. You know, being around family, it felt like I was around them forever. Don't get me wrong, I love my family. Sometimes I'm like, I'm ready to go. But now getting older, I'm like, man, I'm about to turn 30 this year. Man, I know. Man, it's almost Christmas. Like, it's just crazy to sit here and think about. But the thing is Peter started sinking. He didn't feel like he was sinking, but he was. And so how do you know when you're sinking? Ask yourself that. How do you know when your own life that you are personally sinking? You're not following what God has for you. You're not doing what God tells you to do. You're acting like a fool outside of church because there's too many Christians, and I do that in quotation marks because they come to church Monday or on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're out in the world acting like the world and being a bunch of fools. And it's just absolutely just heartbreaking to me because and John, you go through the Gospel of John, Jesus says, hey, they made fun of me. Life is hard just because being a Christian is hard. If you're being a Jesus follower, and I always tell the teens, being a Jesus freak, it's going to be hard. Because the Bible says is that, you know, the world is going to hate you. If you've been doing Bible studies in the high schools and the middle schools and some of the schools, you see all kinds of ridiculousness. The things that the kids are wearing. I went to my nephew's baseball game yesterday, and first game I ever saw him, and it sickened me. A little girl, 5 years old, just wearing some booty cutters. And I was like, why? Why? But that's the world. So if you're going to be a Jesus follower, a Jesus freak, make sure your life is right. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to just be, you know, a quick sale. It's going to be hard. But your circumstances drown out the voice of God. There in verse 30, you see that, but when he saw the wind, you know, it was crazy. The word boisterous here is just, you know, it's scary. It's, you know, very windy. It's something that, you know, it's strong. You think of going back way back when, I think 2007, I think when the big huge windstorm hit, and at least it did in Wilmington, it wiped out everything. But you sit there and you think, so they freaked out because this huge windstorm started coming. But then when fear of the unknown causes you to lose confidence in God's will, you see there he was afraid. You know what Brother Tim said, like I always say, and he mentioned it too, and it just brought me back to my message, is that, you know, he said, hey, it was nothing, and I took the big leap. You know, when I worked in the construction field and preacher says, hey, you're called to ministry, now you can shoot your shot, now is your time to get into ministry, and I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about a little bit of pay. Just got married, I had a kid, I'm making, you know, some decent money here, doing electrical work, doing a business. He says, this is how much we're going to pay you. And I sat there and I prayed for literally a lot. But I remember a pastor telling me, if you're ever going to let finances be in the way of ministry, then just stay out of ministry. So I said, you know what? I'm taking that huge leap. Because I knew what God wanted me to do. I ran from God so long that I finally said, God, you know what? I'm all yours. I'm going to do everything that you ask me. And I'm not up here saying I do everything because I'm still a sinner just like everybody else in here. And I still sit there and be like, huh. And then I had to sit there and repent because God called me to do it. But you're going the wrong direction. You know, all those years that I ran from God, I went to being a big person, almost a store manager at Goodwill. Then I was like, man, I ain't getting paid enough here because I was all about money. I went through the police academy because I wanted to be a cop. I like helping people. I like doing anything I can for people. And then I failed my state test. Well, I'm going to go back to Goodwill. I went back to trade, went through trade school. None of that was satisfying to me. But as soon as I said, you know what, I'm tired of sinking. I'm tired of just barely holding my head above water. When I said, you know what, God, I'm just going to follow you and do everything you asked me to do, the best to my ability, you know, I felt my head just slowly lift up above water. And I just want, I'm sure there is, I'm not God, but there's probably somebody in here tonight that says, you know what, I'm sinking right now. And whatever it is, if it's job, if it's your family, maybe it's just your Christian walk. Whatever it is, somebody in here is, I'm sure, is sinking right now, and that, you know, quit running. When you're running from God, you're going to continue to sink, and you're going to continue and continue and continue, and boom, until you hit rock bottom. But your progress toward Jesus has to come to a standstill. There in verse 29, it says to go to Jesus. If you aren't going to Jesus, then where are you going? Because like I tell the youth every single week, you can't sit there and love two things, the world and Jesus. You either love one or hate the other, and which one do you hate more? You can't sit there and run the straight line. I saw this illustration where a preacher put two ladders on a stage, and he tried to walk up on them at the same time. And he only could go up so far because, again, he couldn't do the splits. He was built like me, a little big. And Brother Timmy asked how much I weighed, you know, I just started going to the gym, brother, and I just want to say I'm going to the gym because, you know, everybody says my father-in-law makes fun of me, my pastor makes fun of me, and then now I got Tim making fun of me. How big are you? I'm just kidding. But there's a lot more certainty about your position than there is supposed to be. In Hebrews 11:1, we all know this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's what we can't understand. We all got, especially me, I tell the youth, I got a pea-sized brain. My brain is so small, I can't remember a whole lot. Preacher yells at me because I don't remember a whole lot. And then he gets to the point where he says, write stuff down. And then he tells me to do it. And then sometimes I forget to write the stuff down. And then he's cut my head off even more. But it's just because I got a pea-sized brain. But finally, here we go. We're going to bust through these. When you're sinking, number one, don't wait for someone else to tell you that you're sinking. Verse 30, and he began to sink, and he cried. The other disciples didn't inform him of his situation. The Lord didn't even break the news to him. He knew he was starting to sink just as soon as he started to sink. You sit there and think, as soon as your life started going downhill, someone shouldn't just sit there and see from the outside and say, hey, you, your life, you're not doing too well. No, you should automatically, as soon as you made that decision, as soon as you did this or you did that, you should automatically know that that wasn't the right decision. Because it wasn't in the will of God. You know when your prayer life is dead.
We sat there and read. If Jesus, he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He went up into the wilderness and he prayed to God. Shouldn't we pray to him as well? That's very important. And us, especially me, that's one of the biggest things that I stink and fell at, is my prayer life. But I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know when your possession is cold and your fire has gone out. You know when you're not where you're supposed to be. Don't make somebody else have to ask you about it. You should automatically know. You know, sitting there, don't be, I got three kids. A lot of you guys know. Braxton, 4, he'll be turning 5 this year. It makes me feel really old. Maisley turning 3 this year. Makes me feel really old. And then my newborn. And, you know, it's nothing like sitting there telling them what to do, and then you've seen how old they are, and then sometimes us adults have to get told what to do. And it shouldn't be like that. We should automatically know when something's wrong, when we're not in the will of God, when our prayer life stinks, our Bible reading stinks, and we're not soul winning, and when all that stinks, you're automatically just going to sit there and fail if you're a Bible-believing Christian. But number 2, don't delay doing something about it. There in verse 30, he's beginning to sink and he cried. When's the last time you cried to the Father? When's the last time you've been on your knees asking the Father to forgive you for the things that you've done? There's too many Christians in today's world that sit there and say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry's not good enough. Because then you're going to go right back out there and do the same exact thing because a little simple sorry. But you see, Peter, he cried because he was sinking. But he didn't wait until he was completely underwater. He didn't swim for half an hour until I was about to drown. I'll tell you what, if I was swimming for half an hour, I'd already be down. I went to the water and I ran a half a mile, believe it or not. I swam, I feel like the half a mile. My kids were beating me, jumping on me, jumping off of me. Whew, I was dead. I got out of that pool and I was exhausted. I felt like I got hit by a train. That's what it felt like. But you sit there and you think, he didn't wait. He didn't delay. He started responding to a situation at the very beginning. Help! He didn't wait. Sometimes we get so, we're sinking so much in our own life, and we sit there and say, help! At the very last minute. You know, we got to sit there and think, you know, taking that big leap of faith as far as finances go, every time when I'm like, I don't know how we're going to pay a bill, I'm always asking God, give me finances, that's where I need. God, can I spend something here? Can I spend something there? Can you give me a side job to do a little bit of electrical stuff? And guess what? God, he always comes. And sometimes we got to sit here and think, God is not just a person that we just go to when we want to go to. God wants us to go to him all the time. Because, you know, everybody knows this saying. I'm probably going to butcher it just because, you know, I forget the things. Again, my pea-sized brain. But God is good. And all the time. All right. So remember that. So the very minute you realize something's wrong, do something. As soon as you mess up, deal with it. You know, a long time ago, I'm not going to go into complete detail, but I tell you what, it's the grace of God that me and Megan got married. I'm just being honest with you. It's the grace of God that, you know, things worked out because of how stupid I am. I'm just being honest. And sit there and you think, I messed up a relationship way back when, but you know the first person that called me? Pastor Bryson. Hey, he didn't say it like this, but I know he wanted to. Hey, dummy, I heard what happened, and now it's time to be a man. And that you're sinking. He had to tell me, and now it's time to act right. Let's get back on the right track. It took a long time. It seemed like it took about 9 months for things to pass and good again. Megan's a wonderful woman. She's a woman of God, and she forgot and forgave, praise God. But again, don't wait. When you need help, don't sit there and be like, eh. How many of you guys, I'm bad about this, how many of you guys like the doctors? All right, good, I was making sure. No, I hate the doctor. Right now, I got something wrong with my neck. I don't know if I slept on it wrong. It's really bothering me. A few months ago, I stinking, did something to my back. I just hate going to the doctor. But to this point, God's our doctor. Don't sit there and just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait until something really bad happens. Cry out to him as soon as you start going down. But you know how many people die because they didn't go to the hospital right away? Do you know how many people's engine blows up because they didn't respond to the check engine light? Ladies, my wife is really bad about that. And so, and especially, you know what else? And I'm sure my wife isn't bad about this either. I'm going to tell her she's not in here, so she can't, you know, give me the, she can't give me the little stink eye. Is, oh, hey, you can take the van because I need the car today. Oh, okay. I get in. 10 miles until empty. Are you kidding me? I'm about to get sinking because I'm going to be on the side of the road asking for help. But do you have any idea how many people are out of church because they started sinking and did nothing about it? You know, I heard this at a preacher's meeting last month. This is what's crazy to me. 9,000 churches shut down a year, and guess how many are being started? 6,000. How sad is that? Because they waited until the last second, and they noticed that, man, the church isn't doing good, months after they noticed it, and then they said, you know what, we can't do it. Or, this is the other thing, is there's no other, you know, I sit there, I joke around Xavier all the time, but it's amazing seeing a young man following what God wants him to do, because there's not a whole lot like him. There's so many older preachers that's ready to retire, that's ready to get out of the pulpit and, you know, be preached to, and there's nobody to take their spot. Right. And this is what, during that preacher's meeting last month, it like struck a chord in me. This is why I'm pumped, I'm amped, I'm scared, I'm nervous. I was talking to a preacher about it the other day, is, man, preacher, you know, starting a church, I'm excited. But was you nervous? And he looked at me and goes, duh. And again, he didn't say this to me, but I know he did. Duh, dummy. But again, it goes back to taking the leap of faith. So, number three, don't have too much pride to cry over your condition. This is where I'm bad about. I'm not a very prideful person, but I tell you what, there's one thing it's hard for me, and I don't, again, it's the grace of God, is that I can't, that it's hard for me to do crying babies. I love kids. Our plan is to have another baby, not anytime soon. But I tell you, when I'm at home, I'm like, Bodie, can you please stop crying? Please. Maisley, can you stop waking up at 6:30 and coming to my ear in the morning and just cry? It's hard for me. But sometimes we need to get on our knees and cry to God. God, what do you want me to do? When's the last time you cried for a soul? When's the last time you said, you know, I tell you what, I praise, and it was just so exciting. It made my day, and I told my dad this. On Saturday, we had our guys, I said retreat, but whatever you want to call it. I didn't win anything, but you know what? It was so cool to see my dad come all the way from Milford and my uncle, and that was a surprise to me. It made my whole day. But I sit there and I pray for my family all the time because I know for sure my uncle's not saved. I'm not 100% sure if my dad's saved. But when my dad and my uncle walked in and says, hey, I'm here to enjoy the day with you, I tell you what, I just wanted to cry just because I was so excited. But you sit there and you think, when's the last time you cried over this? And David says this after his sin with Bathsheba in Psalms 51, 16 and 17. It says, for the desire is not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. You know, some of us, our hearts are just so hardened. There's just that, there could be a shell just right around it. And, you know, some of that just needs to be broken off. We're not, you say, well, that's too soft, or whatever today's word is that the teens say. But you sit there and think, you know, our heart is just so hard that we just won't give it to God when we need to. When Peter looked at Jesus after denying him three times, the rooster crowed and he went out and wept. Matthew 26:75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus and said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Number four, don't call people that can't help you. Verse 30, again, he cried saying, Lord. The Lord's going to help, amen. We sit there and we think that, oh, like what Xavier said, oh, it's all about the heart, and, you know, nobody knows my heart. But at the same time, you know,
A lot of people say, well, they just don't know who I am. You don't know my past. You don't know this. Oh, I've been out. This is the number one thing I hear about teens, and it just breaks my heart, is that, oh, last night I was out drinking. I can't come to church today. Oh, my friends, this is one of the things I'm dealing with another teenager. My friend says I got to be baptized to be saved. And he doesn't get it. You know, those things right there, it just hurts me inside. Because they're calling on the people that absolutely cannot help them one bit. They're hanging around the wrong people that can't help them out one bit. But don't call people to help you walk on water that ain't never walked on water. There were 11 other disciples in the boat, but Peter did not call on any of them. They weren't interested in getting out of the boat before he started sinking, but why would they do it now? All the youth is helping Awana tonight, but you know, the young people don't go to other young people for advice about how to turn out for God. They haven't turned out yet. Ladies don't go to women with marriage problems for marriage advice. Men don't go to a carnal man for counsel on how to walk with God. Why do people that are sinking call for help from people that are either sinking or already sunk? Have you already sunk yet? Don't grab hands with people that will stand there and talk to you while you are drowning. Don't hold hands with people that will defend you and take you up for counsel when you are sinking. There wasn't but one person around to help Peter, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit asking for other people when they're nobody besides another sinner saved by grace or another person in this world, because they can't help you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. Amen. Quit sitting there saying, oh, this is my best friend, though, and they know everything about you. No, they don't. Christ does. Christ made you. He knows every little piece on your head. He knows everything about your life. We know that in Proverbs, he talks about, hey, the Lord's eyes is upon every place. You can't hide nothing from God. And so, who did he call? He cried on the Lord. And so, number five, don't try to spin the situation. I'll tell you what, going through camps, especially a few camps ago, there's a situation. It kept getting spun and spun and spun. How many of you guys like drama? I love TV drama shows. They're my favorite. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like, you know, dealing with drama. I don't like being around drama. But when I'm sitting there watching, you know, I watched 60 Days In. I'd love to be a part of that show. I'm not going to lie. I think it'd be pretty cool. But don't spin the situation. 30, you see there again, he cried saying, Lord, save me. Because again, God's the only one that can do the saving. Imagine how foolish Peter would have looked asking for a towel because he accidentally got his feet wet. Peter, what's happening? Oh, I just needed to rinse the dirt off my feet. I'm fine. But imagine the insanity of pretending to be out for a refreshing swim. How foolish we look when we are sinking, but we pretend that everything is fine. Quit acting like everything's fine. You know, that's what's nice about having friends where you can at least, you know, talk to them. But don't get advice from them. Go to God. Don't sit there and just be like, oh, again, that person knows everything about me. Go to God. There's not enough Christians in today's world that pray enough because they're too busy around their friends. A like or a repost. Peter needed a saving. He needed supernatural intervention. But you sit there and think, the word save here is to rescue from danger or destruction. A lot of us tonight might need to be saving from destruction. What's going on in your life? Who are you hanging out with? What exactly are you doing with your life? And again, pray to God that he can help you. Don't wait until you're five pages in. Do it from the very beginning. Number six, don't disregard a helping hand. 31, again, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. If you are sinking, find someone to get help. You get back up. Again, don't go to the world. The world's just going to keep kicking you until you're down. And if a hand is extended, grab it. If God puts someone in your life that cares enough to reach out when you're sinking, thank God. Praise God on that. You know, I think that's one reason that, you know, I look so highly to Preacher, because he saw that I was down and he put his hand down there and says, again, look, dummy, let's get you back on track.
And he didn't sit there. I didn't care if he really did. I mean, it was more or less a rumor and everything was going around. I didn't care. I just knew I needed a helping hand. And knowing that, you know, preacher did that, he didn't go around and say, oh, can you believe what Brandon did? He did this, 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 and this, and, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. No. And even if he did, it was my fault. I was an idiot. But you sit there and think, he put his hand out, and I grabbed it, and I said, all right. Now I'm an idiot, so now I need to go to God with this. And so you don't need someone to hold your hand while you sink. You need someone to grab your hand and pull you back up. Don't get this mixed up. Don't sit there and bring somebody else down while you are sinking. Because that's absolutely nonsense. If you're sinking, look to somebody else to lift you up. Don't lift them back down. You need someone to help reverse your course. Jesus wasn't supportive of his sinking. Jesus grabbed his hand and pulled him in the opposite direction. You don't need a shoulder to cry on. You need someone to pull you out of harm's way. You don't need a friend to sympathize with and agree with you. There's too many of that in today's world. Can you believe that guy? He did this. Oh my gosh. And you know there's a different story to that. And lastly here is, or no, sorry, I got one more. Don't fight the one that caught you. 31, he caught him. See there. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Allow me to make a play on this word caught. The one that caught him cared about him. Nobody else. You can sit there and say, oh, my wife or my husband, they care about me. Nobody cares more about you than what Jesus does. The one that caught him didn't want to see his life destroyed. There's a lot of people in today's world that just wish completely awful things on you. No one, if you ever worked in the construction field, it's a dirty, mean place. And sometimes I have to watch, I'm not saying I sit there and I cuss and do all this, but there's some things when I had to sit there because I was a foreman and, you know, I had to sit there and kind of be jerks to my people because they were just lazy. We got lazy boys in today's world when we need, you know, some hardworking men. But anyway, I had to watch some things that I say to Xavier because I don't want to be a jerk. This isn't the construction field. This is ministry. And you sit there and think, is, you know, going through is, you got to know how to talk to people. Don't be a jerk and just push them to the side. If they're sinking, don't sit there and just be jerks to them. Again, lift them up. But the one that caught him was the one that helped him back in the boat. You know, this is the things that we see right in here. I can't believe you told on me. But you are sinking. Promise you won't tell anyone? But you're sinking. If you are my friend, you'll pretend this never happened. Woo, boy. But you're sinking. And so lastly here is don't get angry at the preaching. Verse 31 goes on and says, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? How many times have I heard it? Preacher, now is not the time. Preacher's trying to talk to somebody. Even if you're a friend. A friend, hey, what's going on? Now is not the time. No, now is the time. Jesus didn't wait until they were back in the boat. Jesus didn't wait until they were off by themselves, away from other disciples. Jesus didn't wait until he had time to dry off, but Jesus laid into him while he was half submerged. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? I'm not Peter, but I sit here and I think, you know, this wind's going, and if he says, here I come, Jesus, and he goes to walk, and he's walking, and all of a sudden now he's like, the wind, oh my goodness, and boom. And Jesus, all right, this is the Brandon version. All right, come on, dummy. You lost faith in me when, you know, you should have just kept your eye on me. Let's get you back in the boat. And then the coolest thing is we're not there yet, but then the wind ceased. You know, do we realize how awesome Jesus is? He says, hey, all right, wind, stop. And it stopped. I was telling the youth this morning, we're going over Jesus' sacrifice, or consider his, I can't remember the actual title, but going through his death. And, you know, sometimes us as Christians, I think we forget on how brutal the beating of Christ was. You know, I was sitting there telling the youth, and I was going into description of just how it was. I got my belt off, and, you know, I beat Charlie with it a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But I want them to just imagine this in their brain of, you know, a leather striping with glass and, you know, teeth and all kinds of stuff that's wrapped up in this, that it didn't necessarily just hit, but it wrapped and pulled. And you think of how painful and how awful that was. But you sit there and you think, is why did we lose faith? Why did we take our eyes off Christ when we know that he says, hey, I'm the living. I'm the one that God says, hey, I sent my son on this earth for a reason. He willingly went to the cross. He didn't sit there and say, oh, man, I'm not going to go. No, he willingly walked his feet, got beat, got all these things that happened to him. I'm not going to go in detail tonight. But you sit there and you think of how awful a brooding death it was. And then he conquers death 3 days later and he's risen. But in today's world, thousands of years later, we still take our eyes off Christ and we sink. But yet, we sit here and see the result of Peter. And you go on. O thou little faith. We say, well, that's nothing. Man, Jesus says, O thou little faith. That should tell us something. Why are we doubting God? You know, again, finances, I figured, because I'm not saying I used to be a money freak, but I love things. Tennis shoes. Vacations, I would go on 4 or 5 vacations a year, and so on and so forth. I'd buy all kinds of stupid stuff. I got married. My wife worked. I still, all right, we're still going to do this. We went out and bought a stupid Jeep, and we did all this dumb stuff. I learned from it. But why are we still doubting Jesus today, even though Peter says, I doubted, and look what happened. And then here we are doing the same exact thing, and we did not learn from what Peter. But if you are sinking, you need preaching. If you are sinking, you need someone to help you get to the root of the problem. Jesus was addressing what caused him to sink in the first place. There in verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. The wind. What in your life right now is making you sink at the moment? Is it the finances? Is it the people that you're hanging out with? Is it your job? Whatever it is, quit sitting there and sinking over it, but go to God with it and say, God, help me. I need help now, not later. And so, do you have a friend sinking? Do you need to preach to them? Do you need to talk some sense into them? Do you need to help them fix the problem, not cope with their new situation? And so, my question to you is, tonight, are you sinking? What are you sinking in? Don't blame everybody else for your problems. You got to blame yourself. You put yourself in that situation. Now's the time. Don't sit there and wait. Now's the time to get out of that situation. Don't get defensive. Don't make excuses. Don't try to spin the narrative, you're sinking. Now cry to the Lord and say, God, save me, just as well as Peter did. Quit waiting around and quit, you know, pushing everything to the side saying everything is okay when nothing, honestly, nothing is okay. I tell you what, it took a long time to sit there and learn from a lot of my lessons because God did a lot. And again, it's all the grace of God. But there's a lot of crying I do just because I'm like, God, I need help here. I need help there. And God never fails. And we got to remember that God is the Almighty One. He's the one that does everything. He's the one that created us. We know that He created the heavens and the earth. We know that, you know, we're made in His image. And we got to remember that. Quit sitting there pushing other Christians and your brothers and sisters down to the dirt because they're sinking. You're not. Be the helping hand and lift them up and get them right back on the track for Christ. And so if I can have eyes closed, head bowed. Again, I just, music start playing. And again, my question is tonight, are you sinking? Are you the ones in this room tonight that is sinking? If you are, don't be ashamed of it because I've been in your spot. I can tell you the whole story, but come to me afterwards. I can tell you an awesome, again, it's the grace of God that me and Megan worked things out and we're married today with kids. But what are you sinking? Are you sinking? Why are you sinking? You know, tonight the altar is open as the music plays. Come to the altar and cry out to God.
Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. Do it tonight. And don't just sit there and say, I'm sorry, God, but get real. Get personal. There might be one